If you would turn in the Pew Bible to page 890, 890, or look in your Bible at Psalm 63, or call it up on your phone or your tablet, whichever device you use. We're going to read Psalm 63 and spend a few moments together this morning thinking about a desire for God. And page 890, and let's stand as we honor God and honor His Word. If you are able to stand, that would be great. Psalm 63 is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. In verse 1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. And we pray that you would break the bread of life to our hearts today and cause us to grow strong in faith because of our time in your word. Call us closer to yourself as we would desire you this morning and know that we might indeed know you more today. So we thank and praise you and ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. It's interesting to have a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, and interesting to think about as we come toward another year, what are some of the things that are worthy of thinking about? We look back on a year and we recognize God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's provision and His help. And as we come to the beginning of a new decade in just a few days, you know, that's a year when we should all be able to see good. It's 2020, right? Okay, you'll get it eventually, probably as you're leaving. Anyhow, as we think about these things and facing a new year, may I just recommend to you what Scripture teaches us about the value of desiring God and of giving Him His place in our hearts and in our lives. And you know, this psalm teaches us four things about what desiring God can do for you and for me. And we'll look at those in a second. There is often in human hearts a desire for many things. We all have the desire to be loved. We have the desire to do well and to progress. And for success and those kind of things. And we can desire things that sometimes just leave us so empty. And, you know, sometimes you look forward to getting something, and when you do arrive there, you think, this is not really what I thought it would be. But when we set our heart and our desire on the living God, oh, life progresses in such a way in the reality of who Jesus is and the fact that there is real life in him. And so as we think about these things, it's possible that you can set your desire on something that will end up being empty. But if you set your desire upon Christ and his kingdom as we move toward 2020, who knows the wonderful things that he will do? Now, David, as he wrote these words, was in the wilderness of Judah. He was on the run from King Saul. But you know, there are other kinds of wildernesses, not just that place that might be rugged where there's not a lot of amenities and so on. And oftentimes our life can feel like I'm just in the wilderness. And sometimes I talk to people, and that's actually the phrase that they would use to say, well, I used to have, you know, passion for life, and I used to have joy and purpose and all of those things, but somehow I find myself in the wilderness. That is, it's been a while since I experienced that sense of just, oh, the water of life and the things that can be such a blessing. So as we look at this psalm, that's where David was. He's in the wilderness. And he tells us how to get out of it. Indeed, he tells us these things that when we desire God, this is what he is able to do in your life and in mine. And I don't know, perhaps you're not in the wilderness this morning, but these are worth knowing, because how do we get out of those times where everything just seems so blah? Well, let's look at what happens to David. In verses 1 and 2 of this psalm, we see that he moves from the wilderness to worship. And, just think about what a move that is. And the Bible teaches us many times over that worship is one of those things that lifts us out and beyond circumstances and out of those wilderness, those dry times, and draws us again close to God. Because in worship, we're desiring to meet with him and to praise him and to know him. And so just a look at these. You see, he is speaking here about the satisfying presence of God. Now, this is what makes the Christian life different than any religion that the world has to offer. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you know the presence of God. And yes, there may be times when you feel I'm in the wilderness and the intimacy that I once enjoyed with Jesus is no longer as strong as it once was. Sometimes I've chatted with folk in gospel meetings and so on, and they would come for assurance of their salvation because things have gotten a little bit dry on the inside. And they say, I remember when I was so filled with joy when the Lord Jesus became real to me and my sins were forgiven, and I knew that he was walking with me and I was walking with him. That is exactly what David is speaking about here. The longing for intimacy and the sense of finding it not in the wilderness, but in worship, in worshiping the Lord. That satisfying presence that only God can give. That's why Moses told the Lord, when the Lord said to him, I'll send an angel ahead of you. He said, no, if you're not going, don't send us along. It must be you. It must be the presence of God. It must be that I am close to him. Oh, I got Irish. You see, nothing else will do. And we're kidding ourselves if we just drift along, when what we really need is that close intimacy with Christ, that fills the heart and fills the longing and causes us not to worship for an hour on Sunday morning, but to be filled with worship all day long. You know, one of the things I like about Pastor Shea, stick your fingers in your ears, brother, I'm going to talk about you for a minute. Yeah. When I'm sitting in the office in the morning, I know when he comes in. You know how I know? There is this wonderful melody that just flows out of the guy. I don't think he knows that he's doing it, but he's walking in worship. And I think that's exactly what we need if we're going to stay out of the wilderness or get out of the wilderness, to have that sense of Christ is so real in the heart and as we worship him. You know, we read in John chapter 6, Jesus said, he is the bread of life. He feeds us. And we read in John chapter 4, Jesus said, he's the living water. Come and never thirst again, he told the lady at the well, because you see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit just bubbles up on the inside. The living bread and the living water. He is the one who feeds us, who quenches our thirst like no one else can. And you know, it tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 6 that desiring God is a good thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. That's a little weak, folks. Come and help me now. They shall be filled. Oh, you got it. Yeah. It doesn't say they might be. It doesn't say they could be. It says they will be. And so may it be that we are desiring God day by day and moment by moment. That's a promise. As we hunger and thirst for him and his righteousness, we shall be filled. How did David get that desire that begins to take him out of the wilderness? Look at verse 2. So I looked for you, God, in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He came to the sanctuary, he came to that place of worship. And as he is worshiping in the sanctuary, the wilderness starts to fade. And the loveliness of Christ and the loveliness of our God comes so clear. David erected a tent on Mount Zion and delighted to go there. He returned the Ark of the Covenant to that place of worship. And oh, could I just stop and interfere for a minute? If we want to avoid the wilderness or come out of the wilderness, we need to have that place, that sanctuary, where we can meet with God day by day. Need a devotional life that says, Lord Jesus, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to feed me from your word. I want to know that in these quiet times, you and I connect. There's something so wonderful about the fact that the Lord invites you and me to meet him at that quiet place. Day by day. And yet, in the busyness of our world and culture, it is so easy just to keep on running and never enjoy that depth of connection, never express that desire, God, I need you. I remember listening to a preacher one day, and he said, I don't know about you, but I need Jesus every day. And I thought, right on. That's exactly the truth. We need him every day. So the first thing, as we think about desiring God, it takes us from the wilderness to worship. Isn't that a good move? Isn't that something so valuable to have as we enter into another new year? Isn't that one of those, yeah, kind of moments? You didn't think I'd do that this morning, did you? OK. kind of a quiet Sunday in between. But I can't help it. When I think about the fact that God is willing to set aside time to meet with me, and you, oh, how could we say, sorry, Lord, I'm too busy? How we need that place of worship. It takes us out of the wilderness. Secondly, in verses 3 through 5, we see that it moves us as we desire God from problems to praise. These verses, he says, because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I'll bless you while I live, and I'll lift up my hands in your name. David, you know, there were times when there was no priest to lift up the hands of blessing or benediction, but he knew what it was to walk with God, and he knows that as he is worshiping, praise flows. And guess what happens when you start to praise? Because, you see, it'd be easy to enter 2020 and say, I don't like the government we have. I don't like where things are going. Things are not what they used to be. My answer to that is they never were. But instead, stop looking at those problems and begin to praise the God who can change it in an instant. For when we come to the place of intimacy with God, we come to the place of revival. And there is nothing like it. There is no substitute. There is no human program that can do it. It is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in human hearts. And it is wonderful to behold how He can act and how things can change so quickly. My prayer for 2020 is that it would be a year of revival. A year when, God help us, we would have to book a seat in church. How about that? Isn't that a good thought? Where God is so strongly at work and a nation turns around as they seek Him. Here we see the personal act of dependence upon the Father. Pick me up, Father. Lift me, Daddy, and hold me. No complaints here. Moving from problems to praise. Praising God for His loving kindness. Blessing God joyfully. Satisfaction only comes from Him. I like to think, you know, there are times when the Lord just challenges us to turn away from worldly things and just begin to desire Him alone. And to draw near to Him and to know not only the touch of His salvation, but the touch of His restoration in our spirits and hearts and lives and homes. There's a modern song that I kind of have come to like a verse in. It says, minor days that God has numbered, I was made to walk with Him. But I search for earthly pleasure and forsake the King of Kings. How well that song states it, and how often I've seen folk when there is this turning to God, this desire for closeness with Him, then the priorities are where they should be and where the Bible calls for them to be. Thirdly, in the psalm, as David moves out of the wilderness, we see he moves in verses 6 through 8 from the past to the present. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. And you see, he's looking back and he's thinking about all that God has done for him. And he remembers in the night the past wonders of God. And you know, each of us could tell a story today of a wonderful thing that God did in your life in 2019. And how good it is to be able to look at the past and see His faithfulness. But He's also moving on And he says in verse 8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. You see, he's not saying, I'm staying in the past. He said, Lord, I am following close behind you. And your hand is upholding me. There is this closeness that has been restored, this sense of intimacy, no longer in the wilderness, no longer even just filled with praise, but leaving the past behind and moving on. But moving on with God. And that's what excites me about 2020. Oh, the wonders that God can do and will do in our hearts and lives and midst in this coming year. He acknowledges that God had helped him. He speaks about how God covered him and God had delivered him from his enemies. But he says, I'm staying close to you. May I ask you this morning? Are you as close to the living God as you would desire to be? Or is this not an opportunity on the last Sunday of 2019 to say, God, I want to move close. I want to follow you. I want to be so near to you that I can see where you would have me go. As he stays close to God, God continues to bless, as we see in the psalm. And you know, this is our responsibility also, to stay close to him. Close. I joked around with Mark Parton, whom you saw in the pictures. He's 6'4". And he said to me one day in the Ivory Coast, how come you always make me go first? And I said, well, that's what I learned when I was a terrorist. It's the first law of terrorism. Put the big guys out in front. And he said, all of a sudden, I'm not happy with that idea. You know. And so then he would purposefully just stand there until I would move. And then I noticed, sometimes as we would go through crowds and stuff, there would be this big hand on my shoulder. And Mark, you see, would say, I'm close by. I haven't forgotten you. There's something wonderful about being close, isn't there? Just drawing near, close. Too often we live in the past. We need to trust God for all that he wants to do in these days. Lastly, as we look at toward the end of the psalm in verses 9 through 11, we see that David, as he desires God, is moved from hunted to hopeful. That's another big move, isn't it? From being hunted to being hopeful. He speaks about the fact that there are enemies, and there are God's enemies who were opposed to him. And if you follow Christ, there will always be those who are opposed to Christ. Let's not be surprised by that. God will, in fact, deal with that. You don't need to. I don't need to. He will deal with it. I remember thinking after I was converted out of terrorism in Northern Ireland, Lord, there's only me and there's so many of them. And the Lord gave to me that verse from Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. The race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. In the unit that I belonged to in that terrorist organization, there were 35 men. I know I'm approaching a birthday with a zero in it, but I also know that I'm the only one out of the 35. Still alive. All the threats and all the rest, God, in his faithfulness, in his grace, he took care of it. Are you facing those kind of difficulties and opposition and persecution and those kind of things? Trust God. David moved from being hunted to being hopeful. He says, "The king shall rejoice in God," in verse 11. God will deal with all of those issues as you trust him. Truth will prevail and lies will be stopped. That's the end of this psalm. And oh, how true it is. So when you think about the wilderness, remember these four principles that Psalm 63 gives to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God would move us from the wilderness to worship. He would move us from problems to praise. He would move us from the past to the present, and from being hunted and weary and defeated to being hopeful. For God will always prevail, and his truth is ever sure. So what is it that you desire on the edge of this new year? Is there something in your life that you would say to the Lord, "I want you, Father, to remove this. Come close enough," and he'll wash it with the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Is there something on the edge of this new year and you would say, "Oh God, I want to receive from you. Come close." And he can pour it into your heart, into your life. Is there something that you would long to rejoice over? Oh, as you draw near to him, he is such a personal Lord, Savior, and Master. May we just take a moment and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that intimacy with God is possible because of Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross. Thank you for the gift of salvation that is found only in him and in that personal relationship with him. Thank you that it is not your desire that your children should be in the wilderness, but filled with worship, not in problems, but able to praise, not struggling, but walking in victory. And now, Father, as your Spirit moves in our midst this morning, you know every need, you know every heart. And just in the quietness of this moment, maybe you, like me, as we close out one year and look to the beginning of another, would like to just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want to come closer." And if that's you this morning, as we're at prayer, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for all of us, including myself. Lord, I want to come closer. Thank you. I see many hands across the sanctuary. What a great way to start a new year. Gracious God and Father, not only do you see our hearts, but you know how to guide our footsteps. And we pray that you would lift us and lead us, each one whose desire is to draw near to you today. Would you just touch that life, Father, with the freshness of holy fire, with the wonder of your truth, and the power of your grace. And enable us to live just as David said, following close behind you, seeking your face in all things for the year 2020. Would you bless and protect us, Father, as a church? And as we step out in this coming year by faith, would you grant us many newborn children into the kingdom of God? And help us to serve you with hearts that are full. In Jesus' name we ask.